We'll read the chapter together. The text is the first four verses of the chapter. First Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning, beloved, I plan to preach on the office of elder from the first four verses of the chapter here, and next week to follow it with a sermon on the office of deacon. And it's good that we do this at the time of the installation of office bearers into the church, not only for the men who are installed into office, but for the whole congregation. Perhaps you think when we come to a sermon like this, well, there's very little application here for me. And so you tune out for the hour or so that you're here listening to the sermon. But let me give you three reasons as we begin why everyone here this morning should be very interested in the Word of God here for the elders. And the first is this, that the members of the Church of Jesus Christ play a role in the selection of the office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so as members of the church, you need to know what is the nature of the office. What are the duties of the men who labor in the office of elder? And what qualifications should these men have? And that way you can make an informed decision as you as a congregation select men to be office bearers in the church. And that way the church is blessed with the best men in office. This is not like a political arena, the political arena. You don't select men in office to be office bearers because they're your friends, or because they promise you things, but you select men to be in office because their qualifications suit the office and agree with the Word of God. The second reason is that you must pray for the office bearers. Again and again, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, pray for us. And he means by that, pray for us in the work of the office in the church. that we may do the work well, not only, but that also God may by His Spirit give us the gifts and the qualifications and the spirit and the attitude that we ought to have in this labor. And you need to know about the office of the elder and the office of deacon so that you can know what to pray, that you pray with understanding as you pray for the office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ, that your petitions are specific. For specific, the specific task and qualifications that are needed. And a third reason is that you have a calling towards the men whom God has put in the office in the Church of Jesus Christ. And you have a calling to honor them and to respect them for their work's sake. And you need to know what their work is as they come to you, and who they are, and the nature of their office, and the place that they have in the church, so that you rightly give them honor for their work in the Church of Jesus Christ. But now you elders, this morning, and you deacons too, as you take on this work in the Church of Jesus Christ, you should have the attitude that Paul had when Christ called him to be an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ. He said on the Damascus Road, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Well, the attitude of Samuel when he was called to his special work in the tabernacle, and God called to him and he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And that this morning should be your approach as you begin your work in the office in the church. And so what you have here is the Word of God to you, especially in verses 2 and 3. This is God's charge to you elders. You have said, "Speak, Lord." You have said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And here's His answer. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." This is God's charge to the elders. It's God's word. It's given by the Holy Spirit. This is your work. But also, notice that This word comes from the mouth of the Apostle Peter. It's the inspired word of God. The Spirit inspired him to write these things, but he's also the instrument that God uses. And it's quite appropriate that Peter is the one who brings these words to you elders this morning. He's eminently qualified to give this advice. And that, first of all, because he was an apostle. He had this special office at the beginning of the history of the New Testament church, which was put there by Christ to set in order how things should be done in the Church of Jesus Christ. That qualifies him to say these things. But also, as he says himself here, he is a fellow elder. "The elders which are among you I exhort," he says in verse 1, "who am also an elder." That shows us something of the humility of Peter. He doesn't say, "As an apostle, I come to give you this advice." But he says, "As an elder, a fellow laborer in this great work that God has given you." And also this, he's a man who himself had done the work. He had experience in this work. And the old elder Peter, from his own experiences, speaks, and he says, "This is the substance of the work of the elder." It's interesting as you look at these verses to see how they relate to, or how there are connections in what Peter says here to his own life. Peter has learned some things in his life, and he's bringing experiences from his life to bring this word to the elders in the church. Look at what he says in verse 1. "Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." And that makes you think of Peter, doesn't it? Witnessing the sufferings of Christ. How did he witness it? Well, he followed and he went into the judgment hall. But it was his darkest hour, wasn't it? He denied his Lord there. And as you read these epistles, you find that that's part of what Peter is talking about. Boldness to witness. Be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you. Don't be ashamed. Don't deny your Lord. He's learned himself. And so he brings this word to the elders. He says also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And that makes you think of Peter witnessing the glory of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And again, that wasn't one of Peter's brightest moments. He says, well, let's build some tabernacles here for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Let's try and hold on to them. Keep them here in the flesh. He didn't look beyond to the glory that would be revealed, and now he sees it. But especially in verse 2, feed the flock of God. Didn't Peter hear those words himself from Jesus? Feed my lambs. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. And that's here in the words of Peter. Do you love the Lord? Feed the flock of God. And even in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but in samples to the flock. You remember the disputing of the disciples for the highest place in the kingdom of God and the jealousy that they had for James and John. And Peter says, no, that's not the way to behave as office bearers. This is not about you and your position, but it's about Christ and the flock of God. So this morning, let's look at God's charge to the elders. And notice three things this morning: their task, their attitude, and their incentive. Now, the task of the elders is given by the apostle in the first part of verse 2 when he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. That's the task of the elders. And the Apostle Peter is saying, this is the sum, this is the substance of the work of the elders. There's much more that the elders have to do than this, but this is the heart of it. Feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof. There are two important words there, aren't there? The one is the word oversight. And that has the idea of having a position in which you are called to examine, to look over. And it makes us think of the elders as rulers in the church, as watchmen in the church, as watchmen not now especially of the dangers that come against the church, but watchmen of the lives of the people of God in the church. They must rule in the church of Jesus Christ over the sheep. But that's not the only word here. The other word is feed. Feed the flock of God. And that word is broader in its meaning than just feed. It has the whole idea of being a shepherd. And you get that in the picture there. Be a shepherd to the flock of God. That's the work of the elders. Rule by being shepherds to the flock of God. Now, those are two ideas that the world at least would say to us, don't fit together. You don't lead by being a shepherd. If you would look at the business model for leadership in the world today, well, the business model for leadership is that you manage, that you administer. The military model is that you command. The political model is that you consult, that you find out what the opinions of the people are, that you represent their opinions in your decisions. But it says here, rule them, take the oversight of them by feeding them, by being a shepherd to them. And it goes back to the words that Christ asked Peter. Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. You love me? You love my sheep. That's the first. That's the most important. That's the beginning of a faithful man in the office. You love the sheep of Jesus Christ. Now perhaps you're surprised that Peter speaks here to the elders of the church. He says to the elders, be shepherds to the flock and feed the flock of God. If it's speaking to the pastors, the ministers in the church of Jesus Christ, you might say, well, that would be more fitting. But he's speaking here to the elders. We have to see that this is very appropriate. This is the understanding, you elders, this is the understanding that you should have of your office as you begin. You are shepherds in the flock of Jesus Christ. That view of your office will help you to take the proper approach to your work. It will help you to take the proper approach to the people of God in the church with whom you work. And it will help you to take the proper approach to Christ Himself, who is, in verse 4, the great shepherd of the sheep. You will model yourself after Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. And what a high task that lays before us. And you will recognize the people of God as the sheep, the precious possession. Christ says, I lay down my life for my sheep. He purchased them with His blood. In Acts 20, verse 28, it says exactly that. The church of God purchased with His blood. You view the people of God then, as the Apostle Paul calls them here, as the heritage of God. His heritage, not for you, but His, and you are the stewards of the souls of the sheep. Well, what does a shepherd do? Feed the flock of God, or be shepherds to the flock of God. What does the shepherd do? First, the shepherd knows his sheep. Now, if you know a farmer at all, and maybe not the modern day entrepreneurial large farmer, but the farmer in the days when it was a family farm, if you know a farmer at all, he knew every one of his animals. Maybe if you were a visitor from the city to the farm, you looked at all the cows that he was milking and they all looked the same to you, black and white. Or maybe you're driving through the country and there's sheep on the road and it's just a mass of white sheep. But the farmer knows each one of his cows. The shepherd knows each one of his sheep. He knows their personality. Some of them will lead, others will follow. He knows their fears. He knows that some of them are more afraid than others, and some are more bold than they should be. He knows their health. He knows them individually, their diets, what they will eat, how much they will eat, and so on. You elders, as shepherds, that first is your task, that you know the sheep in the church, that you know their struggles, that you know their homes, that you know their family life and their children and the lives of their children and so on. This week in the organizational meeting of the council of the consistory, each one of you elders will be assigned a district. And that is so that you can administer special care over those sheep. Get to know them. The apostle says here, the elders which are among you. You have to mix with the sheep. You can't put yourself on a pedestal. You can't separate yourself from the flock because now you're an elder. But now as an elder, you have a special duty to be among the sheep, to get to know them, to know their individual needs and cares and fears. You're not to put yourselves above them. If you do that, if you stand aloof, you will not be effective in your work in the church of Jesus Christ. A shepherd knows he's among his sheep. In the second place, as shepherds, you are to feed the sheep. And that's really the main task of the shepherd. He has to find food for his sheep. Without food, the sheep would die. And you find that in the scriptures. When Joseph went to find his brothers, he couldn't find them because they were looking for pastures for their sheep elsewhere. Remember Abraham and Lot's shepherds, they strove, they fought with each other over food for their sheep, because this is what sheep need. The shepherd has to feed his sheep. Now perhaps you think, well, this belongs to the work of the minister as a shepherd. That's his task. And if this morning the sermon was for the minister, certainly that would be the emphasis. This is the primary way in which a minister is a shepherd to the flock of God. He feeds them. He feeds them out of the Word of God in the preaching and from house to house. But the elders also are called to feed the flock of God. And you do that by bringing to them the Word of God, the tool, the instrument of the elders, of the deacons too, and their work is the Word of God. You notice that when we read the form even for the deacons, they bring money, they bring help and comfort. But it ended with a very important phrase, and also with comfortable words out of the Scriptures. This is the instrument, the tool that God has given us, the food that God has given us to give to the people of God. And you elders have that responsibility too. You know the flock. You know their different needs. You know their different situations. The minister knows some of that too, but he can't meet all those needs possibly in the sermons and the preaching. And so there must be counsel from the Word of God to meet the individual needs of the congregation. And that's the work of the elders. And there are many opportunities for the elders to do that. We go on family visitation. That's to get to know the needs, the spiritual needs of the sheep, and to comfort them out of the Word of God. There can be appropriate follow-up from family visiting. Another way you can do that is to invite the sheep into your home. The elder, it says, must be hospitable. And you have your district, and you can get to know everyone by at some point during your term as elder visiting with those sheep. The third task of the elder as a shepherd is to gather the sheep. Now you know the parable of the lost sheep, and at the end of the day the shepherd would gather his sheep together into the fold. And in the parable of the lost sheep, you children know this too, there were only 99 there. One was missing. And the shepherd didn't say to himself, well, that doesn't matter. At least I've got 99 here gathered together. But the shepherd, who is Christ, went out after the lost sheep to gather him also into the fold. And this also belongs to the work of the elders. The elders have to gather the sheep. And you gather them not just together, but you gather them to Christ. You gather them to Christ. You do that by calling the people of God to worship. We have special services, and those are calls to worship from the consistory. But the congregation should recognize that every worship service, every Lord's Day, is a call to worship from the elders. This is the elders gathering the sheep together to Christ. The elders and the people have to understand there's an obligation there for the people of God to attend the services, to be gathered to Christ. That means for the elders that when certain members of the flock are not there, they don't say, well, 99 is good enough, but they go out after the one. And that applies not only to the gathering of the people of God in the official worship services of the church, but even in the other aspects of the involvement of the sheep in the life of the church. The sheep can't separate themselves and live separately from the flock and say, well, it's enough that I just hear the preaching, but the members of the church need each other. They're a body of saints. The elders have to get to know what involvement the different members have in the life of the congregation. Are they at the Bible studies? Why aren't they at the Bible studies? Let's encourage them to be there. Are they contributing to the life of the church in other ways? The sheep need each other. Think of sheep, they need each other even just to keep warm, to protect each other. A sheep that is on its own all day and only comes back to the fold at night is in danger. That's how that sheep got lost. And so the elders look and gather the sheep so that their spiritual needs are met. Fourth, the elders, as shepherds, are to lead the sheep. And the idea here is that you make decisions for the sheep. The shepherd makes decisions for the sheep. He decides where he will feed the sheep that day. He decides when it's time to lead them to the water to get a drink. He decides when it's time to bring them back into the fold. He leads the sheep. The elders have to make decisions for the flock of Jesus Christ. And that means for you elders that you not only have to make decisions, but it means that you have to have a reputation, an honorable reputation in the church of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there will be no respect for the office and the decisions that you make. If you look at the qualifications that Paul gives to office bearers, you find out that the overriding one is that the elder must be blameless. His character must not be questionable. And that is so that there's respect for the office and the decisions and the leadership that the shepherd, the elder, gives. Now, leading means not only decisions, but leading means also correction sometimes. The sheep can be stubborn. The sheep can be docile. The sheep can be foolish. The sheep are needy. And so you need to minister to those different needs of the sheep, sometimes by admonishing and exhorting them. This responsibility falls on everyone in the church. We need to admonish one another, but it falls especially on the elders. They have this task to exhort and to admonish. They know where this is needed in the congregation better than the other members of the flock. They're called to, in the text, have oversight of the congregation, to examine the lives of the members of the church, not as spies so that we can know the dirt on everyone, but to help spiritually and knowing the needs, the spiritual needs, to admonish and encourage and exhort those who wander. Again, there are opportunities for this. There are family visitation. There are opportunities to talk with different members of the church where you know as elders that they need some direction and encouragement and instruction from the Word of God. Perhaps if somebody in the church is under the first step of discipline, silent censure, you elders know that, and nobody else in the church does. You have a unique responsibility to lead by admonishing. Further, the shepherd cares for the sheep. I said that sheep were docile, sheep were stubborn, sheep were lazy, sleepy sometimes. But this is the picture of sheep. Sheep are needy. You need to care for the sheep. And this is in addition to the regular task of feeding the sheep and leading the sheep. There are sheep sometimes who have extra special needs. And then you elders have the responsibility to care for them. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says of the great shepherd that he gathers the lambs in his arms and gently leads those that are with young. There's a special need there. And the great shepherd Christ exercises special care to those with extra need. That's your responsibility. To look them up, to care for them, to carry them, to comfort them, to care for them, to administer them special words of comfort and to pray with them. The shepherd had with him a bottle of ointment for the sheep that would be injured or cut, and he applied that to their wounds. You have to bring the balm of the Word of God and prayer to the wounds of the sheep of God. Further, the shepherd protects and he defends the sheep. A good shepherd is aware of the dangers that confront his flock. A good shepherd knows the cliffs. He knows the treacherous terrain. He knows what foods the sheep shouldn't be eating. And so he doesn't bring them near those poisonous plants. A good shepherd knows where the sheep will get into trouble with briars and thorns and be caught. And so, aware of the dangers, he guides them away from those dangers. Now, for elders as shepherds, that means you're aware of the spiritual dangers that confront the flock of God. And sometimes these are not obvious things. There are obvious things. There are obvious dangers for the Church of Jesus Christ, where standards and rules are broken. Commandments are blatantly broken in the Church of Jesus Christ. Those things are very obvious, and you elders have a great responsibility there to direct the people of God in the way of obedience. But sometimes the dangers are much more subtle. Spiritual dangers that come against the soul of the people of God. The spiritual dangers and temptations that are unique to different categories of sheep in the congregation, to the young people and their temptations, to the developments in technology that present special dangers to the young people. We're looking here not for the wolf, but we're looking for the wolf in sheep's clothes. We're looking for the little snake that slithers under the door. We have to be aware of all these things. You remember the Pharisees never took any notice of such things. They were concerned about practices, about people eating with unwashed hands, about people keeping all the laws that they had established. And Jesus says, that's not it. The elders watch for the souls of the people of God. So that's the calling of the elders. That's God's charge to you elders this morning. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And it's summed up very well by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. There's the substance of your work. To be shepherds like that. What a high calling. What a great responsibility. Don't you feel the weight of it? This is the office of elders, not an administrative task. We're not just here to make budgets and bring proposals about building to the congregation. But we're here for the souls, to watch for their souls. We're not professionals. We're shepherds. God's committed the souls, life and death, heaven and hell. That's what this is about. Feed the flock of God. We're going to have to depend on Christ for that, aren't we? It says in verse 4 that Christ is the chief shepherd. And that's a picture that's given, that's presented of Christ many times in the scripture. And the idea is this: he's the real shepherd of the sheep. You're his under shepherds. You're his servants to carry out his work in the church. And you can't do this in yourself. You need him. He's present in you in the church as the shepherd by the Holy Spirit. And you need to depend in prayer on Christ for the strength to do this labor. Great shepherd, we'll sing in a little while, great shepherd who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And that should be our prayer. Lord, shine from above into our lives as the great shepherd to equip us to feed the flock. Now the text also speaks of the attitude that the elders should have. And it mentions three things: that they do their work not by constraint but willingly. If somebody's constrained to do something, he's forced to do it. He does it because he has no choice but to do it. And the apostle says here, the elder shouldn't have to be forced or convinced to do his work. Now, how might it be that we need to do things by constraint? Well, it's this: every time we have an aversion to the work that God gives us to do, we say, I'd rather not do that. Then we're feeling that we need to do it by constraint. There can be different reasons. It can be that the work itself is very difficult. We've never done it before. It can be that the sheep with whom we're dealing are difficult, or they're not our kind of people. Or it can be even ourselves, our own aversion, natural inclinations away from a certain kind of work or people. The apostle says the elder shouldn't have to be constrained or forced to do his work. Then he ought to do it willingly. It shouldn't be in the church that when there's a task to be done, there's no elder that's willing to do it. It should be that every elder is willing and ready to do it. He says he should be of a ready mind. Men of initiative. Men who look for things to do in the work. So that the work of the elder is done very well in the congregation and it's not left undone. Not by constraint, but willingly. Then also not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And now he's talking about an opposite motivation. The motivation should be of a ready mind, a willingness. Because we do our work before the Lord, because we labor with the sheep of God. He's saying someone might have the motivation to do it for filthy lucre. Money is the idea, but it's not strictly money. It's to get something for yourself rather than giving something of yourself. There were shepherds who had sheep, and they raised them for their wool, and they would be sheared every year. And all they cared about was the wool. They didn't care about the health of the sheep. They didn't care about the sheep, each one individually. All they wanted was the money at the end of the year. The apostle is saying we shouldn't have this office in order to get something for ourselves. For name, for recognition, for status, for praise, for power. That shouldn't be the motivation. But a ready mind, a willingness before God, because these are his sheep. And then in verse 3, the third attitude, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And the idea of a lord there is a dictator. In some senses, the elders are lords of the flock, definitely. But the idea here is of a dictator. And a dictator does two things. One is he sees the people and he sees everything under his power as for himself. And he uses it for himself. The other is that the dictator says, you must, but he doesn't do He has one rule for the people and another rule for himself. He's dominating. He enforces his will by bribery and manipulation and favoritism and threatenings and fear. Not as lords, but as examples. These people are God's heritage, being lords over God's heritage, but examples. And we see our office, we should, as stewardship. These are the sheep that belong to Him. And so you're an example. You're among the sheep. You're one of the sheep. You live by the law that you lay down for the sheep yourselves. You say to the sheep, as the Apostle Paul could say, follow me. Do as I do, as you have us for an example. That's the attitude that the elders should have. There's an incentive, a reward in verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The crown of glory we should think of as a garland, an Olympic garland which the competitors received at the end after their competition. And there are two things in that. The one is this, that garland came after a struggle. It was at the end of their competition that they received this garland, this crown of recognition and of glory. And the elder struggles sometimes in his work and receives little reward sometimes in his work. And the Apostle Paul, Peter is saying here, that can be. It may be that you never receive a reward for your work here. It may be that your work is very difficult. But God will reward the faithful elder in his work. The reward is of grace, isn't it? The reward is eternal. There's the other thing. It fades not away. If you got a garland at the Olympic Games, after a few weeks it faded and died. It was no longer green. But this crown fades not away. It endures forever. And that's because the fruit of your work is an eternal fruit. You deal with souls and the salvation of souls. And the work, the reward of the work that you do will be the spiritual health of the members of the congregation that will last to eternity. There's a reward on your labor. And what an incentive to do your work. This is put here not just as a fact. When Christ comes, He will give rewards. But it's put here as an incentive. When Christ comes, He will evaluate your work. And to the faithful elders, He will give, out of His grace, a reward for their labor. In the book of Revelation, the apostles and the sons of Jacob had 24 thrones on which they sat. Christ will give honor to you as you're faithful to Him in His work. And beloved congregation, notice what follows the text. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. Not only pray for your elders, but submit. Be humble. Receive them as Christ in the church. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for this word that helps us so much in this day. We pray, Lord, that Thou use it to encourage the elders in their work and for all of us as we pray for the men whom Thou hast given us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.